blessing. Do y'all believe God in blessing? And you know, your blessing is a process. The blessing of God is a process. And that's what people need to realize, is prosperity comes as a process. Prosperity is a journey or a walk that we take. Amen. And we've been teaching how to get people. We want to preach it into what? We want to preach into prosperity. We figured out the best way to love someone, the best way to demonstrate your love, is that who was called the disciple that Jesus loved, or the disciple of love? John, right? John was the disciple that Jesus loved, right? And what did John say when he, in John's letter, he said, "Brothers, beloved, I pray above all things, or wish beloved all things, that you might do what? Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Amen. Isn't that good? So love manifests itself by wanting to see the people blessed. Amen. Love manifests itself by wanting to see the people blessed. And God wants you to be blessed and in health. Amen. Healed and restored completely. But that's a process. Amen. Point at somebody and say, "You got something to do about that." You've got something. I mean, you've got something to do about that. Don't expect somebody to say, "Don't expect your blessing to drop from the sky and hit you on the head." Amen. You got to hear it. You got to hear it. Then you can put your hands on it. Yes. Yes, you got to hear that blessing first. Amen. We told people you can hear it, then you write it down, then you read it, then you start to talk it, then it'll start to manifest. But what we're teaching on right now is shepherds. Amen. Shepherds. The shepherd goes out. Say, the shepherd goes out. And we found out that the shepherd does go out. The pastor teaches the sheep how to escape. Oh, my word. That's a part of his job. Did you know that? He goes out and he comes in. Amen. And that going out is kind of like go for it. That going out means they go for it. True shepherds and true pastors, amen, go for it. And that's what kind of faith you need to have. They encourage your faith, so you want to get with somebody that's doing what? Going for it. Now, how would you like to go for it and escape at the same time? Some of you got to do it at the same time. You got to escape the enemy's trap, amen, and also go for God's best. And not be distracted by it. Amen. Guess what? We're going for it. We are going for it, and we're going to get it in Jesus' name. Somebody say faith. God can do anything. Okay. So he leads them out. Go back to Numbers chapter 27, verse 15. "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." Say, the congregation of the Lord has a shepherd. Say, that's God's heart. Say, pastors are the will of God. Now, why are we teaching on pastors? Because pastors have had a real hard bout these last few years. You know, they've done some stuff, and maybe they haven't done some stuff, but they're getting knocked out. Amen. Why are they trying to knock the pastors out of the way? Amen. Because other fivefold offices are ready to come into manifestation, to where we can see them on a greater level. And the devil doesn't want to have that happen. God has used the office of the pastor. He's used the office of the pastor. Amen. And you know, God will wait us out until we can receive something. You got to learn to work what you got, and then you get more. The Bible says, "He who is faithful with little will receive much." You got to be faithful with what you got before you get more. And how many want to see more? So we got to learn to pull the anointing of the pastor out, amen, and get behind those pastors. And I believe that once we do that, we'll start to see other things, amen. They believe we'll start to see true evangelists, true prophets, amen, true apostles. They're out there, but we're ready to see more, amen. So we're just breaking them down, amen? And the one that we're breaking down right now is the shepherd, so that people would know. And we've learned some things. Some of you learned some things about shepherds that you might not have taken too seriously before. There's more to it than you actually thought it would be. So in Numbers chapter 27, verse 15, go on to 18. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, and all the congregation of the children of Israel, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. I don't know about, some people get excited over different scriptures. You know, you read, you know, God has made me the head and not the tail, and people are ready to shout, amen. But I tell you what, any scripture that God is on it should make you want to shout. Say, because all scripture is given for us to bless us, amen. God, whatever God is doing, he's doing it for your good, amen. And this right here, because of, I just pray that you'd get some revelation on this in your spirit, and you're able to pull from it. And we got to learn to pull on a little bit more than what we've been hanging on forever, amen. About time we get beyond, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's nice, but there's a whole lot more out there, amen? And a whole lot more out there than Jesus wept. There's a whole lot more out there than, you name some of these scriptures, you know, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's wonderful. That's a great scripture, right? Powerful scripture, amen? But it's time to grow up. And there's much more out there. There's a whole lot more out there. And we can find out, we can have church on a scripture like this. If you really believe God and you really trust God and don't want to be religious, amen, you can have church on a scripture like this when you learn to work it, when you know that God is serious about what he's doing. How many believe God is serious about what he's doing? How many see God working? How many see God working? Do you believe God works? You ready to be blessed? And the Lord said unto Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun. Pastors, move. Shepherds go places. Because the sheep, if you stay in one place too long, you're going to eat up everything, amen? And they'll die out. But a good shepherd finds green pastures. He finds pastures, amen? And then you glean there for a while, and then you get all that you can get there, and then all of a sudden they say, hey, look, this stuff is gone. Time to move on. Good shepherds have the ability to cause the people to go on, not just to stay there, amen? There's some people that want to stay. Like, remember we were preaching before, we said some people just want to stay at salvation. You know, oh, he saved me from my sins. And there are churches that just stay there. Every service you hear, they're talking about when they came out of sin and that the Lord delivered them. Amen. Oh, he saved me from sin. Well, yeah, he saved you from sin. He delivered you from bondage. Now go on over to the promised land. Somebody say, go on. Don't just get stuck there. Amen. Go on. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with that. He saved me from sin too. Glory to God. But I'm not going to stay there singing about it forever. I'm going to go on to the next step. Still, I'm just as saved as you are, still delivered from sin just like you are, but I'm going on to the next step. So they go on. Amen. They keep moving. They don't plant it. Somebody say, don't plant. God called, he put pastors over us. He put shepherds over us, not zookeepers. Zookeepers built concrete pads, put gates and posts up, and they lock you in there, and you just stay there. You plan to be there for a long time. But that's not what he called. Somebody say, you're free. Glory to God. God's people are free. So he put shepherds over them so they could go from one place to the other in freedom. Amen? So when you get with a church, and you go into a church or something like that, say, expect something to change. Expect something to change. You're going to move from one place and go to the next. I mean, you pack it up. You might as well start packing. People think evangelists are the only people that go someplace. That's not true. Amen. That's not true. The whole church gets to move it. Amen. From glory. Somebody say from glory to glory to glory. It's leadership. Not just keeping the doors open, the doors of the church. People think leadership, they call the pastor the leader. They think, well, he's just going to lead us to get the rent paid. Amen. He's going to lead us to keep people from fighting with one another. Amen. That's our leader. He's going to lead us into which building to build next. Amen. That's all the leadership we get. So that's not what God's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the leadership, the heart of the shepherd that takes you to the very heart of God from glory to glory. He's leading you on the glory to higher dimensions. You're going to change. Amen. You're going to change. Glory to God. You're going to move. Amen. I don't want to. Hey, you know what? I don't want to pastor any crippled sheep. Because we're supposed to go on. We're supposed to go on, you know. I don't want to hear what you did years ago and how good you've been where you were at before. Amen. We're moving. Can you move? Can you walk on to the next step? Amen. Well, that's nice, but, you know, you're going to get some more glory. Everything's going to change. You know what? In my life, in every ministry I've been to, something new's been added every time. I mean, unexpected territory. Amen. Think you step into realms that you never thought you'd step into. Somebody say it's going to get good. You get people, well, I've been in this thing for 40 years. I've been in the way for 40 years, you know, and I've seen it all. Exactly. That's exactly what they are. Anybody ever heard that term? I've been in the way for 40 years. Well, it's time for you to get out of the way. Amen. Get out of the way and get on with what God wants to do. Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. The people that God has called to lead people forth into this next generation, they have the Spirit of Joshua. Joshua is another name for Jesus, amen. Yahshua, our salvation. Meaning our salvation, our deliverer, amen. Isn't it amazing that they call this generation the Joshua generation? Hallelujah, say we're ready to cross over. It said, a man in whom is the Spirit. Now it could be talking about the Holy Ghost, right? That's nice, right? But it was talking more than just about the Holy Ghost. What it was basically talking about was just life. It said, a man full of life and breath and passion. Joshua's got passion. God calls passionate people to do something for him. Amen? That's what that life means. It said a man full of the Spirit. Basically, it meant Joshua was a man that could easily be angered. Did you know that? Full of Spirit. Ready. Now, we get that Spirit controlled by the Holy Ghost. Amen. But you got to have something. You can't be slow to the jump. And that's what God's called. Somebody say, let's go. So pastors, true shepherds have life. Amen. They're not stale and slow. They're ready and able that when they hear God, they're free to move. And I believe God's breaking the yoke of bondage over ministries, setting people free. Amen. People wonder why so many churches have so much bondage in it, that members are in bondage, they can't do this, can't do that. Amen. So much control everywhere you go. Amen. Well, you sow control, you reap control. It's all over the body. Everybody talking about how many ever been around control, quote unquote, controlling pastors? Amen. Devil's got everything controlled. But Jesus came to set us free. And when you free ministries, you free pastors. Pastors start to free those that are with them. Amen. Stuff starts to happen. So in that life, he said, take Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. How many believe that Moses had something put within him? Moses had something in him, didn't he? There was something within Moses. Moses had a call abiding on the inside of him. That call was from God. That heart, that spirit was from God, wasn't it? Came directly from God. Moses needed some help, didn't he? And he said, go lay. Somebody say, lay. Your hand upon him. The Bible said, don't lay hands suddenly upon anybody. Don't put your hands quickly on anybody. Amen. Basically, mean don't bring everybody into your ministry. Don't include everybody into what you believe God's called you to do. Amen. That's what that lay hands suddenly on somebody means. You got to be careful what you put around you. Why? Well, what you entrust with God's put within your spirit, don't do it suddenly. Amen? Now, we went to an ordination service. Wasn't it glorious? Amen? Went to an ordination service they had in Humble. They ordained some people to the work of the ministry. Oh, it was wonderful. And they laid hands on them and commissioned them to go forth in Jesus. And we were there for that. Amen? Well, we're teaching a little bit about that tonight. Well, we're talking about the ordination of Joshua. How many believe God's called you to the work of the ministry? Amen. How many believe God's called you to the work of the ministry? Raise your hand if you believe you're called to the work of the ministry. Well, listen. If you're called, you're going to go forth. We don't have any problem laying hands on you. When God says to lay hands on them, lay hands on them, but something's got to happen. Amen. When the hands are laid on you, it's just not a prayer. People think it's like this. Oh, Lord, help him as he goes out and does whatever he wants to do. Somebody say, it's more than that. See, that's the problem. People don't study things before they jump into stuff. They just let somebody go away to Bible school for 2 years and send them out there. Amen. Ministry involves life. Ministry is supernatural. It's supernatural. It's a fire that burns within. Glory to God. From the heart, straight from the heart of God. Ministry doesn't come just because you feel sorry. Oh, nobody else is going to do it. I might as well do it. Amen. That's not going to get the job done. I might as well just go out there and do it. That's not how it happens. You get out there and try, but you get under a real ministry, amen, and have hands laid on you and see what happens. When you start to hear something after you had hands laid on you didn't hear before, glory to God. You start to get up earlier when you didn't get up early before, amen. You start to move. You know, everything about you changes. There's something supernatural about it. That's called anointing. That's when hands are laid on you, something transfers. Something transfers and something is imparted. There is an impartation. When hands are laid on you, see, there are different ways you get hands laid on, but when hands are laid on you, there's an impartation, amen? And it didn't just come from that one that put their hands on you. It came straight from the heart of God, passed down. Somebody say, it's been passed down. Generation to generation. Straight from Numbers chapter 27. Glory to God. What am I saying? The anointing that abides and rests in those that are called to do God's will, that anointing came straight from what? Numbers chapter 27, verse 15. But this is the new deal. How many glad about that? Somebody say, that anointing didn't die. It just strengthened. So it said they laid hands on him, right? And what it basically means, it means to lean upon or take hold of. See, when Moses laid hands on Joshua, he just laid his hand on him and grabbed him and took a hold of him, got control of him. When Holy Ghost hands are laid on you, guess what? Everybody want to go into ministry, want to do what they want to do, amen. But when that anointing comes on you, you forget where you want to go. You go where the anointing sends you, amen. Somebody say, the hand got a hold of me. Talk to the hand. There's something within that touch. It says to lay hold of and to lean on. Why did people go out under the power when hands were laid on them so often? Why? Because they laid hands on them and called them into the work of the ministry. So basically, they lay hands on them and they lean on them. Everything within that person would rest on them, lean on them. Whatever God called them to do, what he heard in the burning bush, leaned on him. That means that whatever Moses experienced on the mountain, amen, whatever he experienced, everything about his life, when hands were laid on him, it leaned on him. It takes about 15 seconds to have hands laid on you, right? But when the anointing's on, you're picking up about 20, 30 years, maybe 2,000. Amen. When those hands are laid on you, you're picking up what Paul saw in the light on his way. Hallelujah. That's the anointing that you're flowing in. Not a new one. Same anointing. Somebody say, same one. Same anointing. I wouldn't want any other one. I wouldn't trust any other. I wouldn't. Somebody say, this is a new thing that God is doing. Well, I don't want it. Might be new to me, amen, but it's not new to God. Same Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost. Everybody freaking out about people laughing. People been laughing for years. People been laughing in the Holy Ghost for years. People get all excited about people shaking. The Methodists were shaking, amen. They used to shake. Quakers shook, amen. Big deal, glory to God. Buildings shook back years ago. Buildings would shake. The house where they sat shook. The prison shook. Glory to God. Amen. Say, it's nothing new. So when Moses stretched out his hand, right? And he laid his hands on Joshua. And it said that laying on of hands, at times it was, oh, we just think, oh, how pretty. We play pretty music on it. Amen. We play beautiful music. Anointing. Fall on me. We'd sing songs like that. Here I am. Send me to the nations. All these wonderful things. Amen. But when I studied this, it said it could have been those hands were hard. heavy. Didn't mean they punched it, but it was heavy. How would you like to have somebody, how would you like to have, anybody remember Brother Lawrence that prayed until his heart exploded? That's a burden, isn't it? I'd like to have those hands laid on you, amen? And his burden you pick up. Isn't it amazing? You start to, the people that laid hands on you, you start to pick up elements of their ministry. You start to pick up elements of their ministry. You find yourself years down the road start to do things, not because you're imitating what you heard them do or anything, amen, but it just starts to come out. Amen. Somebody say hands. There's something supernatural about the hand. That's why you got to watch Looney Tunes laying hands on you, amen. And you finding your thoughts go wacky, amen, always depressed, you better watch the Looney Tunes sitting beside you in church with their hand on you, amen. Amen. You better tell them, keep your nasty hands to yourself. You know, Rodney Howard Brown, I did like what he said. He said, say, look, he said, there's nothing wrong with laying hands, but we just don't know where everybody's hands have been. Amen? Especially if people run to this meeting, run to that meeting, and then they're going to bring it back to you. Hallelujah. No, thank you. No, thank you. Be careful. Be careful. Now, so he laid his hand. And you know what the hand represents? Credit. Hand would also represent power and dominion and also debt. What do you mean debt? Mission. Moses was, he heard God and he was indebted to God. Amen. He picked up his passion and his debt. Moses couldn't get him across. So he laid that charge upon Joshua, indebted the people to him. I don't believe anybody's calling, amen, and if they're not following through with the mission of the people that laid hands with them on. What did you get? Somebody say, bring it to pass. Everybody talking about double anointings. Does anybody remember the double anointing teaching? What's a double anointing teaching? It means you get the anointing for the person that had hands laid on you, plus your own personal anointing. Isn't it amazing that Elisha got a double portion of Elijah's ministry? Why did he get a double portion? Because he needed twice as much, because he had to finish what Elijah started, amen, and plus do what he was to do. Everybody wants to do their own thing. But we can't do our own thing until we complete what the Holy Ghost told those that have told us to do it in the first place. Yes. Hallelujah. Do what God told them to do. What did God tell Brother Hagin? That's what we're to do. Somebody say, that's what we're walking in. Dr. Sherman S. Howard, Washington, D.C. That's what we're walking in. Amen. In that anointing. Somebody say, same anointing. Same hands laid. Plus our own. So, he laid his service upon him and yielded it to him. And he did that first to Joshua, right? Now, how many of you like Joshua? So, Joshua basically took that and he said, and set before him, somebody said, we're going to see two ministries. And we need to be completely aware and informed what those ministries are. Joshua's ministry, to carry the people over, amen, to go out there and come back in. Didn't Joshua go out to the promised land and saw and spied out the land and said, hey, it's a good land, we can make it? So the first person to touch goodness in the nation of Israel, well, it was Joshua. Why was he so determined to get over there? Because he saw what it looked like. He saw what it looked like. He knew it was milk and honey. See, he wasn't just thinking. He knew. He saw it. Amen. He had experienced it himself. See, he had experienced it. He knew what abundance was all about. He had touched it. Amen. He had a glimpse of it. And he was able, he had gone out and come back in. that he might bring them out and over. So what you should want from your people of God, see, the devil tried to box up people. They got mad when people got blessed. Get mad when preachers get blessed. You didn't bless them. What you worried about? Only the ones that didn't do anything. The ones that don't tithe are the ones that get mad. Amen. The ones ringing the offering plate with quarters and nickels and dimes complaining because the pastor got a car. Amen. Amen. You got people that give $1,000, million, almost a big bucks and don't say nothing. Amen. You could buy dog biscuits and they're not going to say a word. But more, you take a double offering and you let somebody squeeze a dollar, dusty, makeup, wrinkled, crumpled dollar out of their purse. I mean, some of them, you see that dollar coming out of the purse, you're saying, please put it back in. Don't put that burden on me in Jesus' name. Somebody say, keep it. You know, here's that check. It says, Say, don't need it. God will make a way. Hallelujah. Anybody coming under bondage? Amen. I'm going to write some check and put make me jump through some hoop when God's delivered me. Amen. You're crazy. Lord, somebody say, no more bondage. How many churches and ministry you go to, and that's what's going on? Pastors ready to step out and go forth, and somebody then doing probably, wow, $150 a week. Glory to God. And they want to change earth, heaven, and hell with that $150 a week. Amen. You better keep that thing. Amen. Yes, if you want to cross over with somebody that's free. Cross over with somebody that's free. Glory to God. Amen. If they're going to be free, you don't want anybody in bondage to you either. You better make sure your pastor's not in bondage to your paycheck or your wallet. They can't tell you what it's like, amen, because he's afraid to hurt your feelings or what you do in the offering plate or whatever. You better, boy, you're in trouble. That means that man's not your pastor. That what you sign, what you write on that check becomes your pastor. And you'll never grow beyond your own income. Hireling, amen. It's the truth. When you deal with people, it's not that much money in the world, amen. I mean, psychiatrists, they make good money, amen. You know, and they deal with demons. You know, they get paid to deal with the demons and stuff like that. You know, you get the preacher and you deal with all kind of spirits, all kind of stuff. Looney Tunes, you wonder what cloud they didn't fell out of. I mean, what spooky movie did they climb up out of? And, you know, some of them come through the door just as messed up. Couldn't walk into a psychology office, but they're going to come through the door, and you're going to take their messed up life and put it back together again for a dollar a week. And then got a tap dance to get that dollar. Amen? I don't think so. What you get is for free. You don't pay me this. God paid this. Amen? When you tithe to get your blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's for free. Amen? He'll bring it in some other way. Amen. I'd pay to do it. I'd pay to give it to you. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? Yes, it is. It's the truth. It's the truth. Everybody free but the pastor. Oh, so he laid his hand on him. And we're talking about, somebody say the second anointing. Eleazar. Now you're going to have some Joshuas, but it's a miserable place if you stuck with a bunch of Joshuas. Amen. I'm sure Joshua was nice from a distance. Go, Colin, go, pal. Amen. Go on forward. Amen. But I don't want to be in any camp that's full of nothing but a bunch of Joshuas. That's what you call some misery and doing nothing. There ain't that much battles in the world. Amen. Out of all that nation, how many Joshuas did they have? Out of the entire nation, one. Isn't that amazing? One. And he said, go find yourself 12 of them. Amen. Get yourself a big board, a Joshua board. Go get 7 or 8 of them. Go get 12 of them because it's a big army. You better get a bunch of them. And it said they found one Joshua, and that was enough. And he had an Eleazar. Now, I believe there are more Eleazars out there than Joshuas. Amen. And people need to learn to respect Eleazar. Eleazar, you know what that means? Help. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? There is no, you don't want what God wants to do here. They won't come out without Eliezer. Why did they put Eliezer in there? What is Eliezer? Everybody expecting something to happen. I don't care how good pastor preaches. I don't care how many dead people get up. Amen. Ain't nothing going to happen without Eliezer. Thank God for Eliezer. Thank God for Eliezer. Eliezer. What was it? Helper. Or priest. He was to be the priest. That's what, you start talking priest and all the Looney Tunes get happy. Those that want to get in the church, you know, they call to the ministry. You know, oh, let's see this and let's see that, you know. I want, amen, I got this ministry to go. It's so heavy. God's working on me in this ministry, amen. Whole lot of talk, no action, you know. Ooh, it's on me. He's called me. Ooh, it's so strong. You should have saw what God did to me yesterday. Nobody else was there, but I saw it. Amen. Ooh, it was so heavy. Seven people got up, and the whole grocery store fell out under the power, you know. You know, it was not in the newspaper anywhere, but it really happened, amen. Ooh, that ministry's so strong on me. Brother, why don't you give us a little bit of help. Can you turn the light switch on? Oh, I'm just so full. I'm just so blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh. 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 Can barely walk. Can barely walk. It's so strong on me. I could barely walk. And you know, I could barely move. Ooh, his power so strong. You know, and you get up to heaven and you talk and God says, "Why? Well, what were you able to get done? I couldn't get anything done. I couldn't move. I couldn't. I was so toe up. I couldn't move. I was just." Whew. Somebody say, priest, serve. Priest, serve. Eliezer was the priest, and Eliezer's name was Helper. Ministers serve. We got ministers working in this church. Our ministers are answering the telephone. Amen. Ministers. Amen. Not flunkies. Ministers. People anointed by the hand of God. Put your hand on them. You're in big trouble. The Bible says, touch not my anointed. Amen. Amen. You're going to get in trouble. You better get your hand off Eliezer. Somebody say, same anointing. Getting smart with people on the phone. Don't you know you're messing with Jesus? That's who's answering that phone. That's the hand. That's the hand. He talked about that in Numbers chapter 17. It's all gone. You better take your hands off of it. Anybody playing no dumb games with you? This ain't no political thing. This is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They're up there because God's got them up on the platform. Amen. They're answering the telephone because that's the Holy Ghost that called them to do it. When you get an usher up there catching somebody, that's Eliezer. That's an anointed one from the Holy Ghost. Amen. God put it all together. If it wasn't, and somebody say, well, that's not God, then why wouldn't you, then why can't you do it? Then why aren't you doing anything? It had to be God. Because if it wasn't God, you know, then you would be able to do something. Amen. Because most people do nothing. Talk about everything, but do absolutely nothing. Amen. Amen. Somebody say Eliezer. That's what builds the ministry. Amen. Your name's not in the Bible, but Eliezer is. Let me look beyond all that stuff. Amen. Hold on. Get out of the way. I don't know whether, I mean, you might have palsy or, but I'm looking for Eliezer, amen. Shake as long as you're pouring coffee or doing something as you're shaking, amen. God called nobody to do nothing. He called everybody to do something, amen. Amen. If you're so spiritual, you're not doing anything, you're hearing the wrong voice. If the voice that you're hearing from God, all he's got doing talking to you and talking to you and talking to you, he's got all eternity to talk to you, amen. He wants to walk with you, amen. Talk and walk. There's so many people so stuck talking to spirits. Talking to spirits all day, and trees and bushes and spirits and all kind of wild stuff. Stop talking so much and walk something out. Amen. Ooh, thank God for Eliezer. So we're getting there. We're learning about Joshua as well as Eliezer because they're in the Bible. Amen. Somebody say, they're in the Bible. So are you. Well, we got to find you in here someplace. And the Bible says, you know a tree by the fruit it bears. Amen. That looks like Eliezer, but hold on. Strife, dissension, confusion. Where you have these things, you have every evil work. Well, let's go back for evil. Where'd that come from? Evil, lion. Okay, who's the father of lies? Who's father of slander? The accuser of the brethren? Okay, let's go way back down to the root. Oh, I got it. Could it be Satan? You don't need a highlighter to see it. And he sent him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation. Some of them say this, priorities. People want to get things out of sync, and they want to build ministries out unbalanced. And you should never be distracted. This whole sermon came out of this one point. This one point. God said, tell them to love. And I got a message from the Holy Ghost, and I'll never say it again. And I might get in trouble for saying this, but God told me to tell you to love your pastor. Amen. That's what all this is about. Amen. Okay? Because this is how you build strong ministries. That's right. And not flip way upside down. Right. And whenever you hear it coming the other way up, it's distorted. Okay? He said he set him before Eleazar. Those that are called the ministers, priests, God will take care of somebody that he doesn't want to be someplace. Amen. He'll take care of that. Amen. First of all, if somebody's pastoring that shouldn't be pastoring, leave them alone. They're crazy. Okay. I mean, they could control something. I mean, they control Microsoft faster than they could people. Okay, don't worry about it. That is a person you cannot handle. Anybody that's pastoring doesn't need to be pastored. Amen. There is nothing you can do. Amen. Anybody that would do that to themselves, I mean, that's a nut. Put themselves through it. Poor thing. Amen. Okay. But he set them, first of all, he set them before Eleazar. So let's say premise. Foundations. Joshua. Eleazar. Congregation, the world. God can handle that. And we don't need to change it. And many people want to reach the world, but they're not going to be able to reach the world until they get home taken care of first. You build from that vision that God, amen, from the call, the hand came on one, amen. And that hand came on the one, amen, and it wasn't his desire, it was what was laid on him. Everybody needs to be under something. No ministry is off doing its own thing. You got to be with something or connected to something. Amen. Under something. And you pick up their call and their ministry. Amen. And you follow through with that. Okay. And then after that come those that are called to help make that thing happen. Now, according to this, if you've been saved for more than 5 years, you are Eleazar. Somebody say, your name changes. And then you have the entire flock, and then they go forth and carry forth the will of the Lord. These are things that need to happen, okay? They came, first of all, you got to realize that the most important thing of any ministry is what? What's the most important thing that people want to get you caught up with? But what's the most important thing in that ministry? Where did the ministry start with? Serving, yeah, but what did the ministry start with? What division? But how did the vision start? The call of God, the what? The hand. And when he had hand laid on him, there was a charge imparted. And for that leader and for Joshua, that's what he's going to be judged on. Not on you, but he's going to be judged by his charge. Isn't that amazing? His mission and his call and his charge. And when you find a leader or a pastor that gets outside of their charge, that's a scary thing. Why? Because at that point he's at rebellion. He could be doing a good thing, but not a God thing, but that's rebellion. Amen. The charge is what is important. And that ministry must abide within that calling and within that charge and not deter to the right nor to the left nor be persuaded from the charge which God has called them to do. Not by popular opinion. Not from murmuring among the sheepfold. Amen. You get real big and it's going really good. And God says, no, the charge is this way. But we'll lose 10,000. Amen. Well, go with the charge. Because 10,000 congregants aren't going to get me approval from God. Amen. Obedience gets approval from God. And there are things we can't explain. Amen. There are things that you can't explain. You've got to stay with your charge. And find out in everybody's personal life, every one of you are commissioned with a charge. And that's how you need to lay out your what? Lay out your life and your walk according to your charge and according to your commission. Can somebody say governing values will help you make decisions? What are your governing values? How do we function in things? Some things we don't even have to pray about. Why don't we have to pray about it? Because of our governing values. From our charge has already answered that call. He told us to restore reverence to the body of Christ and build churches. So if he called me to build churches, he didn't say build your own churches. Amen. Even though we do that. Amen. He said build the church. So we never come against another church or another ministry. I don't care what's wrong with it. Why? Because we go against our governing value. Our charge. Our charge. And we don't let it flow anywhere in our ministry. You know, we clam up real quick, and I see it there. You know, and we don't even have to impart these things strongly into everybody in the ministry. If they get around us sooner or later, amen, they just catch it. I can look it on the face of the staff, of the different people in the staff and in the ministry. We'll go out with people who've been in the ministry for 10 to 15 years, 20 years, some of them 20 years, and mouth get to going. But it gets going. But you could see on the face that a charge has been not offended. But, you know, there's a check there. It says, hey, we got direction. Amen. That's our life. Somebody say, our charge is our life. Isn't that good? So the most important thing is when hands were laid on them, they were given a charge. And when you know your charge, everything else is simple. Because you're only judged by your charge. Are you fulfilling your call? So he gave them a charge, and he also gave, somebody said, things that ministries need to be successful is a charge or purpose. Okay, and the other thing, honor is important. Honor and integrity is important. Dishonor in a ministry in any realm or anything is destructive. Moses, you see, Moses, he gave him a charge. He gave him a charge, and he gave him honor before the people. That stuff is there. So that we all might be blessed. We have to lay these foundations. We must lay these foundations because people don't know. And only the Word, amen, only the Word of God, not my opinion, but only Scripture. And that's why you take notes so you can study it for yourself. But only the Word will heal us. Only the Word of God will heal us. And so we must learn these things, and we're taking difficult things, amen, and able to get them over in a way that we can understand them and walk in it, amen. Now I'm going to just read you some Scripture. Psalm 23. 8. A psalm of David. Now, we said this morning that the anointing of the pastor, that any anointing, is Jesus. And the measure that you meet that anointing is what you're able to pull off of that anointing. Okay? And the measure that you meet that anointing is the measure you pull off that anointing. And people have knocked, you know, we don't even trust pulpits anymore. And that's sad. That's a work of the devil. That we can't trust pulpits. I mean, you used to go to church. Way 70s, I used to go to church. And man, when they got up there, I could just feel goosebumps all over my body because it was sacred. Something supernatural was about to happen. Prophecy was about to go forth. Amen. My life was about to be changed. And you know, I met it with that spirit and with that heart. And I was always ministered to. As a 10-year-old little boy, you know, as a 10-year-old little boy, I was getting fed the meat of God's word. Amen. Because I was saying, man, that came straight from heaven. That's divine. Amen. That's a part of God. Okay. So we must meet things in that same fashion. Somebody say, don't lessen it. Pull God. Trust God. Then somebody say, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Well, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Well, you trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Put more of your confidence in the Lord than you do in me. That's how I do things. Amen. There are certain things you just got to walk through. Hey, look, this is where God has me. So therefore, I believe that God is not going to give me what? A stone if I ask for bread. Or a serpent if I ask for what? Fish. And the devil doesn't want you to have faith. See, you got to go to church in faith. You got to go to church in faith. What do you mean go to church in faith? And the devil will come against you in faith. It's the same way when you talk to your doctor. When you talk to your doctor, you better have some type of confidence that God is going to use that man. Amen. You better have some type of faith there instead of fear. Well, why can't we apply that to our going to church, which is most important to us? Our church experience is the most important thing in the world to us, so we need to apply our faith in that. So when I get up there, I got great faith. When I go to a meeting, I have great faith, and my great faith says, man, that's a mighty man of God, Brother Hagin or whoever's ministering to me, my faith says that. And you know what? My faith pulls in. So in faith, you can claim these things. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now listen, the shepherding of the Lord. The shepherding of the Lord is done through what? Pastoral care. That means that prosperity and abundance are directly related to pastoral care. You cannot get into abundance but by leadership of pastoral care. He leadeth me beside. Somebody say, you can expect it. The Lord is my shepherd. And when God talks about shepherd, he said, what can I do to display my shepherdhood nature? What can I do to be that? It's not enough for me just to let them quote that and up in heaven someplace. I need to be that on the earth today. I need to be that on the earth today. I want to be their shepherd. Amen. I just don't want to be a prayer away. I want to be in and around them and among them. Amen. Said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you even till the end of time. Amen. Glory to God, but I'll be in you. Somebody say, the Lord is my shepherd. The pastoral heart of Jesus is in manifestation in my life. Now, if you go to church, if you can't expect that Jesus is pastoring you through that pastor, go find one. Don't get anything less. He's not dead. He's still here. That means that the teaching you're getting, you can expect that was the same teaching they were getting around the rock. Amen. When he was talking to his disciples and his disciples right there. Somebody say, same Jesus. That means that what he was telling them in the same fashion, that's what you should be hearing if it's the same anointing. The Lord is my shepherd. Somebody say, faith in ministry. See, you got to learn to stand in that and you'll bring some people out. Don't sell yourself short. Don't cheat yourself. You better not be pulling on my flesh to be your pastor. You better believe it's Jesus in there, glory to God, leading you to where you got to go. You don't want what my understanding, my head can give you. You want what the heart of God can give you. Somebody say, supernatural pastoral care. It's the truth. Somebody say, the Lord is my shepherd. And if David had that standard, if David had that standard, and God is no respecter of person, glory to God, we're talking faith. If David had that mindset, and if David, you can put your faith there. And when you start to honor and you start to see God in things, glory to God, guess what? If the Lord is your shepherd, you will not want. Glory to God. Glory to God. What does that mean? There are a lot of people that are in lack right now because a pastor preached on things that would bring them out. Amen. And they couldn't reverence that as the Lord. They couldn't see that as God. And they went off on something else and they went broke. Amen. But those that heard the word, somebody that heard the word, they didn't increase tens of thousands. Glory to God. They didn't come up to, they didn't got piano, cars, shoes. Hallelujah. Houses and carpets. Glory to God. Sold property. They didn't got land that they didn't know about. Why? 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 Because the Lord. Somebody say, nothing less than the Lord is my shepherd. Say, I'm not worried about Pastor Ron. Say, you don't understand. When people go talking about me, say, you don't understand. You're way off the fact. Listen, that doesn't matter. The Lord is my shepherd. Glory to God. Who is yours? Faithful is the Lord. And when people start bringing that kind of faith to church, imagine what will happen.
Imagine what will happen when you start walking in that kind of faith. And what's the balance of to walk in that? Somebody said, "Now you're getting cultish." No, we're getting scriptural right now. Amen. We're not telling you to be stupid. We're just telling you to get some faith in there. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. And when you can rise up to that level spiritually, when you can rise up to that level spiritually, somebody say, glory to God. When reverential fear comes back into the house of God. See, that's just the flesh. See, that's just him walking in. But on the inside of that, the Lord, amen. He's my shepherd. And if I get my heart right and I pray in the Holy Ghost right and do things right, he'll step out. He'll start to lead. But I got to have faith and confidence in what he said. He said that he would be in us. And that was better. See, God is no less here than he was here before he ascended unto the Father. He's here in a greater measure and in a greater dimension. And you should be able to pull, but you got to meet him on that level. People that received from him way back then when he was in one fleshly body, only those that could meet him for what he was were the ones that were able to pull from him. Now you got to find out where is he today and pull from that. See, if you meet God from where he's working at right now, amen, you'll be able to pull on that same anointing. Somebody say, do you know what time it is? That's what it's all about. What time is it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Circle that in your Bible. That means this. When you have the revelation of what we have been speaking about and teaching, not the brainwashing, amen, but the revelation behind that. When you get the revelation behind that, prosperity happens. Yes. Somebody say, prosperity happens. Say, the Bible says it's going to happen. And if you just got that in your spirit, how many of you wanted to prosper? Glory to God. Now, if you just got that revelation in your spirit, isn't it nice you said you want to find a new way to prosper or something like that, and you found out that just honoring God in the pastoral office, amen, and acknowledging the anointing there and not lessening it to be man-made but from God, amen, you'll receive, you'll never be in lack. He maketh me to lie down. Somebody say, makes me. Lie down. In green pastures. Say, more money. When we sat up there and had that thing 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we said, everybody claim what level you're believing for financially. Amen. Some were tens and some were hundreds and some were thousands, some were millions. And said, I just can't make it. I said, get in there someplace. Somebody say, makes me lie down in green pastures. Won't let me settle for hay and stubble. Amen. Somebody say, green pastures. Say, he gets controlling when it comes to money. Amen. Makes me lie down in God's best. Amen. Say, come on up. For the good. And, you know, that's every pastor, even the good, the bad, or anything. You know, if they're doing it, every pastor will do that. And if you just bless that pastor, amen, whether it be me or anybody, I don't care how far off they are, say, listen, that anointing's in you. You don't even, brother, don't worry about it. We're just going to pull on that anointing. And green pastures are in there somewhere. We'll find it. Might have to dig a long time, but it'll come up sooner or later. Somebody say, it's in the package. It just happens. He leadeth me beside still water. Somebody say, he restores. Say, the anointing of the pastor brings restoration. He's going to put it back together again. I need to get my life put back together again. Things have been torn up. I mean, I lost this, I lost that. I just need to get up under a word someplace. I need to get it back. Somebody say, get it back. Amen. Somebody say, just come to church. Just sit there. Just get your butt in the door. Amen. Just get your butt in the door and put it in the seat. Just don't worry. I mean, drag yourself in there and just get your butt in the seat and sit there for 6 months. You'll be restored. That's how easy it is. Just go in and throw yourself there whether you want to or not and sit there. You'll be restored. Somebody say, it'll get on you. Sit under the word. See, You don't understand. You pick up mentalities and thinkings and processes in your head, and the enemy and the flesh will get all over you. And it takes a while, amen. But you know, you sit up under the word, it'll get you sooner or later. You'll get, I mean, you might be disagreeing with it, fighting it. It'll take a little time, but it'll get you. It'll get you. Somebody say, the word will never return void. He leadeth me in righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk. Somebody say, walk. Through. Pastors make you walk through. They don't cause you to camp. Amen. They cause you to walk through. The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What does that mean? When you're going through some circumstances, some situation, glory to God, you know, that pastor's there. And it's not just a friend, Jesus in that person. Amen. Thou art there with me. Sometimes the anointing might be in you, sister. Thou art there with me. Christ in her. Amen. Amen. Might be this, brother. Might be that, sister. Somebody say, thou art there with me. You don't have to be alone. There's an anointing someplace. God will be with you. But you got to realize, people, he called a man. And Nations Church needs to shout, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Confess that. They comfort me. Confess that. Say, no, it's in the Bible. Let them call you ignorant. Say, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It's right there in the Word. It's in the Word. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. And you should shout every time you read it. Say, that's my favorite scripture. Thy rod and staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love this. And I believe that's an anointing that Nations Church has and many other ministries should have. People trying to do you in. Tell you not work. You better watch out for this one. Watch out for that one. Amen. Amen. They try to do you in and try to wear you out and try to knock you out. And that pastor's going to lay a table out. He said, I'm going to give you a good meal. Amen. You get steak. You get steak. It'll be all right. Somebody say, glory to God. They prepare a table before me. Now, what is preparing a table before you? That means a good table. That means they're not going to throw no cheap stuff in front of you. Amen. Make you sit in some shack, amen. They're going to put chandeliers up, paint the walls, put nice pictures in, put some glass, man. Always improving, amen. Somebody's saying, going to prepare a table. They're not going to give you paper plates and paper napkins and throw it out the window and tell you to meet me at the barbecue grill, amen. They prepare a table, amen. Somebody say, they lay it out. The Bible says those that serve the office of a bishop should be given to hospitality. That means you got to have a house if somebody want to come in. Given the hospitality. First of all, you got a house. Given the hospitality means you're not going to have a dirty, nasty church, amen. That's not giving the hospitality. Bugs running all over the place, rats, roaches, place stinking, hot. Somebody say, given to hospitality. Say, I expect the best. Go for it. He said, he's laying it out for me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Say, I'm always full of joy. I'm always full of life. Somebody say, surely, goodness, and mercy. Y'all want a nugget? Remember what we talked about? Remember what we talked about Ruthie Dearman? How she said she saw this shepherd. Holy Ghost just let me know something. He said they saw the shepherd going across the road, and he had a bunch of sheep following him. And the sheep were crossing the road, and cars were coming. Amen. The car stopped, and the shepherd never turned around once. He just kept walking. And she wondered, what kind of shepherd is that? Never turned around. What kind of shepherd is that? And then she turned around and she saw some dogs, some herding dogs back there. Amen. They kept the dog. They kept the sheep in sync. The Holy Ghost just told me those dogs' names are Goodness and Mercy. Somebody said, you don't have to look back. Goodness and Mercy will keep them in. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? You don't have to control people. See, shepherd doesn't have to beat you with a stick. You want to ride? Guess what? Goodness and mercy will keep you. Amen. Amen. If I'm a good pastor, we're going to green pasture. Guess what? Goodness and mercy will keep you in sync. It'll keep you. Amen. You want to stay blessed? Stay in the ring. Somebody say, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Somebody say, the Lord is leading before me with the pastor and the word. But goodness and mercy are following me to keep me in step. Say, surely you got some goodness. And some mercy dogs. Say, surely. Thank you, Jesus. Say, it's coming. Say, get in between it. Get in between the word and the goodness and the mercy. And Kenneth Copeland said, goodness and mercy are in hot pursuit. For the Bible says that it is the kindness and mercy of God that leads men to repentance. That means that repent means to what? To turn. When you repent, you turn. When you repent, you turn.
Somebody's catching that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell,
make myself comfortable in the house of the Lord forever.
Now listen, we've been talking about references, Old Testament references to the pastor, Old Testament references to the pastor. The first New Testament pastoral reference, the first New Testament pastoral reference is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he had a divine flow on them. When he saw the multitude, he had a divine flow on them. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Somebody said, moved with compassion. Compassion fulfilled through a shepherd.
Bless your
holy name.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.